In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the Feast of Christ the King, which was instituted on the last Sunday of Pentecost by Pope Pius XI on December 11, 1925. The feast day is celebrated by Anglicans, Protestants, and Episcopalians, as we are doing here today. What does it mean to believe that Christ is King? And how can we enlarge our perspective of this feast day? Kingship often denotes authority and power that is wielded by emperors, kings, military leaders, or other secular rulers, which we are familiar with in our study of history. And control is often measured by uses of force which are used to control, impose, or dominate in an absolute passion. In Jesus' day, many thought of the coming Messiah's kingship as a heavenly ruler who would set things right in the world powers and rule over dominions. To think of Christ's kingship using human models calls us up very short, and it quickly limits our understanding of our Lord's authority and power. We know that many use Christianity as a weapon of control, to subdue, to marginalize, to criticize, or exclude others. This doesn't sound like kingship at all. Today you can see that I brought with me an icon, and this icon is entitled the Pantocrator, and it's from the Eastern Christian Byzantine tradition. The term Pantocrator literally means ruler of all, and to call Christ Pantocrator goes beyond authority ascribed in our secular day, but is more extensive and includes not just humanity, but Christ's vision for the whole of our cosmos. The authority, though, in Jesus' day, wanted to use their power to destroy him, being influenced by fear, rejection of his message, and crucifixion to absolutely eliminate any power that he might have, they thought. Well, Jesus said many wonderful things, but rarely anything more wonderful than, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Christian forgiveness is an absolutely amazing thing. When Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was being stoned to death, he too prayed, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And there's nothing so lovely and nothing so rare as Christian forgiveness. When the unforgiving spirit is threatening to turn our hearts to bitterness, let us hear again, asking the Lord forgiveness for those who crucified him, and his servant Paul, who says to his friends, "Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." We hear this from Ephesians. Well, the idea that a terrible thing was done in ignorance runs throughout the New Testament. And Peter said to his disciples, and later to the people, not to his disciples, I'm sorry, he didn't say that. He said, "I know that you acted in ignorance." Paul said that they crucified Jesus because they did not know him. And Marcus Aurelius, the great Roman emperor and Stoic saint, used to say to himself every morning, "Today, you will meet all kinds of unpleasant people. They will hurt you, they will injure you, and they will insult you. But you cannot live like that because you know better. For you are a person in whom the Spirit of God dwells." Others may have in their hearts the unforgiving spirit, and others may sin in ignorance, but we all know better. We are Christ's men and women, and we must forgive as he forgave. It was a deliberate purpose that the authorities crucified Jesus between two known criminals. It was deliberately so staged as to bring massive humiliation in front of him and in front of the crowd, to attempt to rank him with the robbers. Legend has been busy with the penitent thief that was up on the cross alongside of him. He's called by various names, Dismas, Demas, and Dumachus. One legend actually made him a Judean Robin Hood who stole from the rich to give to the poor. And the loveliest legend tells how the Holy Family were attacked by robbers when they fled the child Jesus from Bethlehem to Egypt. Jesus was saved by the son of a captain of the robber band, and the baby was so lovely that the young brigand could not bear to lay hands on him, but set him free, saying, "Oh, most blessed children, if ever there comes time for having mercy on me, then remember me and forget not this hour." That robber, supposedly that robber youth who saved Jesus as a baby, met him again on Calvary, and this time Jesus saved him. The word paradise is a Persian word meaning a walled garden. And when the Persian king wished to do something for one of his subjects at a very special honor, he made him a companion of the garden, which meant he was chosen to walk in this garden with the king. It was more than immortality that Jesus promised to the penitent thief. He promised him the honored place of a companion of the garden in the courts of heaven. Surely this story tells above all that it's never too late to turn to Christ. There's other things of which we must say, the time is past. I'm grown too old now. But we can't ever say that about turning to Jesus Christ. So as long as our hearts continue to beat, the invitation of Christ will always stand. And it's literally true that while there is life, there is hope. My deepest and profound prayer, which is never perfect and often fraught with distraction and what I call the monkey mind, is a continuous attempt of a daily practice. And it is the practice of silence, actually not talking to God, but waiting and praying that I hear or understand God's still small voice in the mystery of my silence. All people who pray this way consider themselves beginners, every day opening heart and mind again, trying to sit in a voiceless and listening posture. This practice, called contemplative practice or centering prayer, can be for 5 minutes or 20 minutes of dying, of letting go of the self, of that crazy monkey mind, in order to try and experience the true self, of letting go to the illusion that we're separate from God, in order to experience our actual union with Him. Prayer is quite simply a profound experience of our core, who we are, as Paul says, hidden with Christ in God. In this prayer, we come to know ourselves as children of God. We become one with all people praying this prayer in all places in stillness and silence. And Scripture can actually open up God's divine message to us in this time. So we might take a word or a phrase that seems to rise above the other, kind of popping up or bubbling up. And it can be this divine message trying to impart some knowledge to us. A holy prescription, a message, a directive that breaks into the day that offers love and a fresh perspective. We use this icon in one of the prayer groups that I'm in to help us pray. Now, it might seem a little odd that you pray to an icon. It seems idolatrous. But you actually do not pray to an icon. You pray with an icon. And the Pontiff Prater, which is in front of us today, is one of the oldest surviving icons in the world. The original can be seen at the monastery of St. Catherine in the Sinai Peninsula, and thus it's named the Sinai Pontiff Prater. As one meditates or sits in silence with one of these icons, one can see an image seemingly to be possibly what Jesus might have looked like coming down through the oral traditions over many years, which describe his features. Iconographers will teach you that the most important features of an icon are its eyes. And then one would be instructed to pray with the icon as if God were looking at you through the eyes of the icon. I did have a personal experience with an icon, which wasn't this one, I was in silence, which led me to a profound tears where I knew myself to be recognized by the Holy Spirit in that space. It was at first extremely uncomfortable, and then I settled down with it. And I could not run, and I could not hide from the truth of myself, which was being revealed in that sacred time. This kind of experience can offer one the overpowering sense of the Holy Spirit, Christ's presence seeing us through the power of image. And all of our vulnerabilities, all of our sensitivities, desires, and faults are fully present and recognized with a disarming compassion, letting us know that we are completely known and completely loved. For my mentor, this Pantocrator experience was an overwhelming one, which demonstrated that Christ the King, the ruler of all, doesn't rule with force or violence, but with love, looking closely at you. And you will recognize, if you look at this icon, that the eyes are very different. One is compassion. You can hold your hand over one, and the other is diagnostic. My mentor was so transformed with the love he described of being completely known, warts and all, and completely loved through those eyes in the compassionate Christ. His belovedness and complete sense of being known to Christ in this time was the transformative space which actually moved him to seek ordination in the Episcopal Church. As this experience happened for my mentor with the Sinai Pantocrator, for me, the experience happened with an icon called the Holy Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, pregnant with Jesus. This was on an Advent retreat for spiritual directors. It became transformative in that the Holy Spirit sees us for who we are, including our gifts and our failings. But at the same time, it is the Spirit of compassion embracing us in healing love. It brought me the confidence and courage to acknowledge my call and move forward on this 19-year trajectory. As we end our Christian calendar year with a difficult visit to the cross of our Lord Christ, we recognize that evil, once and for all, will not and cannot vanquish the love of God for all of us, despite living in the midst of a fallen creation. Experiencing the love and presence of God in our lives and in our community with others, to know what forgiveness is, to be loved, to be healed, is to know that God is with us and God is within us. He does not forsake us, no matter what. And even death will not extinguish this love. So my friends, may we move forward towards Advent with the knowledge and love of Christ, remembering ourselves held within his incarnation and within his mission. For this and all his mercies, may God's holy name be blessed and praised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.